Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. You just finished out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Doc Talk Podcast, Dr. Greg Roscoe, had a great doctor out of Boston, Massachusetts, and Dennis Poe. Now we get into the Sports Talk Saturdays. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, alongside Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, Scott Morgenroth in South Florida, waiting for our guest to get in here today, Craig Elo, former Cleveland Cavalier, and boy, what a backcourt with him and Mark Price. So till he gets in, I'll hang with the guys, 347-205-9631. Show goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Bruce, first of all, we'll start with you. Get it over to Scott. How are you doing today, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, God, I wish I was doing better. The Giants are mediocre. And I can be gotten hold of at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook.
Scott, as we give it over to you, my good friend, you're involved with a lot of things. It's just so blessed to be a part of your network and everything. How can people get a hold of you, and how you doing today, my friend?
Well, guess what, guys? I'm home. Yes, no funeral home, okay? No hotel in New Jersey. I'm home, Deerfield Beach, Florida. That's where you can find me. Well, I don't know if anybody wants to look me up, but they don't have to worry about it. I move around in South Florida. But anyways, to get a hold of me, lots of different ways, but I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version. www.southfloridatribune.com is a website. Twitter, @TribuneSouth. But big, and most of all, okay, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune, TRIBUNE. YouTube channel. So South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, got lots of great stuff. When I was on the road last week, we ended up doing a total of 14 productions, two in the hotel, and 12 videos in addition to another one on the way. So a lot of activity out there in New York State and a lot more on the way. So Mark, let me have, while I have the opportunity, to let our listeners and viewers know that we're going to be introducing a show on Monday night called the Fire Up Series. What the Fire Up Series is, you know, Mark, you and I are going to be heading that, and we'll see other people along the way. But it's an umbrella of markets all rolled into one so that we can take this Fire Up Series to another level. One minute we can be in the Carolinas. The next minute we can be in Portland. The next minute we can be in Oakland. Who knows? But by having it all under one window, that's important. Now, that's... No, I want to make sure, folks, okay, you know, Fire Up Michigan, Fire Up Florida, Fire Up Wisconsin will be standalone shows. This particular show will go ahead and be a part of the other markets available. So, you know, we have three established ones, but I'm so excited, Mark, that we're going to go ahead and be part of this latest venture. And I only know that we've been a part of a lot of them, and we have a lot more in the works for sure. So, folks, we'll give you updates, Mark.
No doubt about it. And as we get ready for Craig Elo to come in, I'll keep you boys posted when he rolls in here, and we'll get into some of the NBA talk. But before he gets in here, I want to talk about something that happened the other day in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's been gnawing at me. And, you know, I remember the first time I tried to talk to Dennis Eckersley, the broadcaster now for the Red Sox, Hall of Famer, and he's retiring at the end of this year, was in 1996 when the Cardinals came through San Diego to play the playoff game. And he was a tough bird to interview. I mean, he just kind of just moved on and didn't want to be bothered. And the next year when they came through in the regular season, he was a great guy. But this past couple days ago in Pittsburgh, he made a comment about the Pirates and in the way they're presented on the field, calling them a hodgepodge of nothings. You know, I don't know if he follows the Pirates, and I'm going to be a little biased here, Bruce, and then I'll give it over to Scott, but the Pirates have a plan in place here. Derek Shelton coming back now for his fourth year. Him and Ben Sherrington have been working close. You know, I do a show with Derek Brock, the first base coach, now for almost 2 years. And, you know, when you look at the rookies they've brought up and everything, I like their chances more so than when I look at some of these teams that got so much money and do nothing with it except waste it, like the Angels. And who is this guy taking a shot at? His Red Sox have a $209 million payroll. They just got their asses whipped in a football game yesterday in Baltimore. And they're dead last in the American League East. So, you know, I think this guy took a shot at a fraternity. And, you know, you don't want to raise the ire of that. Bruce, as I give it over to you, and then we'll give it over to Scott to comment on this, what's your take on Dennis Eckersley's comments about a hodgepodge of nothings in Pittsburgh?
Interesting, too, that he doesn't mention the Oakland A's, considering he played for them, and they're a hodgepodge without a plan. This is just getting rid of the payroll. And, you know, you speak about him getting whacked by them, getting whacked by the Orioles. Obviously, the Orioles had a plan. They certainly have met, probably the surprise of the year to me in their situation. And they obviously had a plan. They got a plan. They got away with trading Trey Mancini, and they haven't missed a beat. This is somebody, Dennis Eckersley has nothing to say, considering the position his team is below the bat, that position, who were bad for many years, but obviously had a plan. And then you have the Oakland A's. I don't know why he's singling out the Pirates for this. Scott?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of different schools of thought here. Number one, and I'm going to be objective, whether it's a popular form of objectivity, so be it, okay? What doesn't help the Pirates' cause is they lost, had a losing season for 20 straight years. Okay, and thankfully it didn't hit 21, because we know 21 is sacred when you talk about Roberto Clemente. Now, I will say that. They had a nice little run when Clint Hurdle was there. It was glad to see the franchise, you know, have a few better times. But what Mr. Eckersley needs to do is remember that I'm sure that him and Kirk Gibson aren't exchanging Christmas cards, because Kirk went deep against Eckersley when he was playing for Oakland, number one. Number two, I think Dennis Eckersley needs to go ahead and go to Cooperstown and look at the plaques. We know he's a member of it, okay? And the last I saw, there were quite a few Pittsburgh Pirates there. It's a very proud organization. The problem that you have with Pittsburgh, though, is you don't want a 2 or 3 decade rebuilding process where you're viewed upon as like the feeder system for the rest of MLB. Now, all right, what are they doing now to build? Well, again, time will tell in terms of what they're doing. I don't like organizations where you have cheap shots at him, because if you think, you know, he was so good at evaluating talent, I would give up his broadcasting job and then go out there and be a member of a front office and see if he can do any better. Now, can I localize it for a moment? Okay, guys, here in Miami, you know, Dan Marino, okay, had an opportunity to work in the Miami Dolphins front office, and he only lasted about a month or two. And that was about it. And why am I going in this direction? Because the job isn't as easy as it looks. A reporter locally asked him, Wayne Huizenga, is this a figurehead type of hire or is it a real hire? Well, once Danny Boy got his hand dirty, he went back and left his job and remained in broadcast or whatever he did. Being in the front office is not as easy as it looks. So I understand where he's coming from. The Pirates' track record doesn't do them any justice, Mark. You can appreciate where I'm coming from, right? But I don't like the words hodgepodge when you're not around an organization day in and day out and you haven't evaluated the entire farm system for what they are. But again, Bruce and Mark, I preface the words, track record doesn't do the Pirates any justice. Now, Mark, you make a couple of good points, okay? The Boston Red Sox aren't spending their money wisely, although that's a tough division. If you're pretty much under 500 in that division, you're not doing bad, but not by the Red Sox standards. And we know that the LA Angels have spent a lot of money, and unfortunately they haven't spent it wisely. And then I don't see Eckersley knocking the Tampa Bay Rays, though, do they? They don't spend a lot of money, but all they do is develop, develop, and develop. Oakland's situation, well, is a little crazy because, number one, you know, you look at the fact that they're in transition. Are they staying in Oakland? They're going to Vegas. And I got to tell you, a couple of days ago, one of my friends, Mark Wilson, who's out in Las Vegas, told me that, you know, it's going to take a lot of money to get the A's there in terms of a stadium. And I don't think they have a really stadium plan in place. So there's more to that situation than meets the eye. And I've been working with Mark, guys, for the better part of 40 years. Manzini, you know I have a lot of connections in this business, right, Mark?
Right.
So you know
right.
that my sources are wide, are like Canada, they're far and wide. How you like the analogy for all our Canadian listeners out there? I know a little bit about there, but don't expect to sing your national anthem on an Oakland broadcast. So,
well, and
you know,
and you bring up a great point before I give it over to Bruce, and we'll go one more round on this, but, you know, when you look at, you know, baseball and in any other sport, there's only one winner in this. So nobody remembers a second-place team in the World Series. They all remember who won it, and that's it. And the second-place team could be considered a hodgepodge of sorts, too, because they're not a winner. I mean, if you want to look at it that way. And, you know, when the Red Sox are in a tough division, the Pirates have been in a tough division since 2015, because when you look at what they had to go through, battling the Cardinals and Cubs, and every year in that division, there's been somebody that's taken it up notches. And the only other division that's comparable to that, basically, would be probably the American League East. Of course, now Baltimore's starting to get there, so that would be it. But nobody has compared to the National League Central. And had the Pirates had to battle the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Reds, this is unbearable. And I look at things a lot different than most people, because I look at the division. And when you look at a division, you look at the consistency of a division from year in and year out. So show me another division in baseball, and maybe Dennis Eckersley's not looking at this. There's no other division in baseball in the last decade that has been top to bottom, the toughest division in baseball. I'm not talking about 3-4 teams battling in American League East, because the Orioles haven't been relevant. Bruce, am I on to something? And we are getting a slew of questions.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you're talking about a hodgepodge, because going back to that A's World Series with the Dodgers and Kirk Gibson, Gibson was hurt that series, and you're talking about a hodgepodge. I remember as soon as when they charged the field, I'm watching that, and Bob Costa says this is the weakest hitting lineup in World Series history, and you know. And it's true. Who's going to remember anybody on that team but, of course, Ole Hershiser and Kirk Gibson, maybe Mike Socha, and he what? Mike Davis before he gave up the home run and was hitting 199. Oh, that's another story. But yeah, he's. I don't know why he's doing it. I was kind of at a loss at it. And to be honest, I've been following a lot of other stories more than that one. But he's out of line, he's retiring at the right time, because I don't see that Boston goes any further in that division. And all their trades were sort of weird. They didn't really gain. They didn't really lose. They are what they are. And somebody who's announcing for a team that's underachieving, I don't consider as a right to knock any other teams that are out there.
Yeah, my only issue with Eckersley and the Pirates is this, okay? Number one, you're broadcasting for the Boston Red Sox. You don't know nothing about the Pirates. You don't, okay? Talk to me about the team that you see more than once every 9 million years, okay, Dennis? And then we might have – I mean, that's my only issue. Now, you want to laugh at me down here in Miami? Go ahead. The Miami Marlins have never won a division title. But guess what, Bruce and Mark, okay? They got in there – you know, we've been in 3 postseasons, and we only lost 1 series – and in 2 of the postseasons, we won the whole World Series. So,
let me jump in here. Carlos from Silver Lake says, let's not concentrate on the Pirates. The dude in Miami is a hodgepodge city with bad teams. And also the clown in NorCal, the A's are pathetic. You 3 guys, but your 3 teams can't beat my Dodgers. Oh, my God.
Okay,
Carlos.
Let me give my non-YouTube subscribers, they ain't going to like me after this one anyways, okay? All right. When was the last time Dodgers won a World Series in a full schedule outside of short season? Okay. And I can tell you right now, if he wants to go ahead and drink a fifth of tequila and be staggering from Southern California all the way to Modesto, California, then, I guarantee he won't be subscribing to my channel. And if he does, he's probably going to want to take a hit out on me anyway. So I don't care if you call me Hodgepodge, because you know what? I have heard a whole lot worse. And I'll tell you another thing. I am king of the road, my friend. Okay, so don't worry about it. I can't win them all. I'm not the Motor City Wild.
Well, Scott, you set it up perfectly for Bruce, because I've been saying that a long time ago. The Dodgers haven't won a World Series in almost four decades playing a full season, and until they do, they might be looked at as a hodgepodge regular season team. Bruce.
You know, I don't know if I even want to dignify that with an answer there. You know, and by the way, Miami does have the heat. There's some decent teams here in the Bay Area that, of course, your Lakers are going to be chasing for quite some time. That's just somebody, you're just mouthing off because right now your team is better than ours, and you better win the World Series at this point. I mean, the Padres are sort of like handing you the division with Tatis blowing it. You got to go all the way. And if you don't go all the way, you probably don't want to call this show back.
Yeah, right. Well, let me tell you this, okay, Bruce, for all those people that want to knock Miami, now, if you want to criticize the Florida Panthers that they've won one playoff series since 1996-7, okay, you got a valuable gripe. But don't tell me that the Miami Dolphins, even though they haven't been relevant in 15, 20 years anyways, still have two Super Bowl titles, been to a few Super Bowls, and have the only undefeated team out there. Number one, Miami Heat has done pretty well to begin with. So, you know, between the Dolphins, the Heat, and the Marlins even have a couple. So it's not like we've gone titleless like Cleveland, okay, where you've only won one championship in most people's lifetimes anyway. Sorry, Cleveland folks. I'm sure I'm going to get hate mail from you too, but so be it. Although I'd like to get Craig Neal on one of these times, hopefully today. And I guarantee whatever I'm hitting with you guys with will be hit with him anyway. But regardless, I don't worry about it anyhow. I do know, getting back on original track, that Pittsburgh is a great sports town. And Mark and Bruce, do you mind if I mention this real quick? All right.
When
right.
I'm in
Cooperstown, I met this guy named Dale Eller, who I ended up seeing over at Doubleday Field. We did a great show on the Sports Exchange, and you know, he's an unbelievable guy, and I'm looking forward to eventually continuing to bring him on. And he's the one who gave me the idea to go with the Fire Up series and make it general. And we talked about the Pittsburgh sports scene, and that's on the South Shore Tribune. He's a guy that I'll connect you with hopefully at some point if he's available. So, but getting back on track, okay, Dennis Eckersley has no business whatsoever, okay, to criticize an organization he knows little about. The only thing he knows about is the fact they've had a lot of losing seasons. I get it. And I'm going to say once about the Dodgers, okay? When I first broke into the industry back in the 80s, I met Al Campanis, Tom Lasorda, Steve Brenner, and they were always nice to me. The Dodgers have always credentialed me when I've gone to Dodger Town as well as Camelback Ranch. So I have nothing but the utmost of respect for the Dodgers. I love the Dodgers, okay? If I wasn't a Tigers guy, a Marlins guy, the Dodgers would be on my list in the Milwaukee Brewers. So I love L.A. Dodgers. I always will. And Tommy Lasorda, to me, it was my first biggest interview and gave me confidence, so much confidence at the beginning. So I have nothing against L.A. All I have is my issue is that this guy that, like Bruce said, probably won't ever call the show again because he doesn't know who I am anyhow, except if you
want to. Well, let me get it over to Barry in Modesto, and he says, wow, this is interesting. I'm going to take a shot at Miami, too, because my Raiders are coming to clean out the Dolphins tomorrow. And is Scott going to be sitting in the hodgepodge press box? Oh, my God.
Well, you know, I got a great answer for that, okay? Can I tell our friend up in Modesto where I'm going to be? All right, you guys ready? I'm going to be in my own bed tomorrow relaxing because I've only walked 3,159 miles in 12 days. So I'm going to just get reacquainted with my living room, with my wife, my cat's busting boots. I don't really give a damn about preseason games because they can beat 50 to nothing, and you probably won't know who the third stringers are anyway. So I love I love the energy of all these people that are taking shots. Bring it out. I don't care. I can handle it. I used to be in home sales selling windows years ago. I doubled the checks anyway. This guy don't realize how much caffeine I've had so far, and how worse it's going
to
get.
Well, I'll tell
later.
You, waiting for Craig Elo, and we're still waiting for Craig Elo, but we've definitely filled the time and then some with this thing. And Bruce, any comment with Barry, the Raiders and Dolphins? I don't really care about the preseason. They can cut this thing to nothing, increase those three games in the regular season, and do all your damn cuts in the practice squad games.
Yeah, the preseason doesn't matter. I watch it on occasion. And, gee, I'm sorry to see Northern California fans still like the Raiders after the move. It's just horrible. And, you know, wait till the regular season starts. And I am looking forward to what happens in the AFC West. That's a very, very tough decision. And really, it's going to be who's the loser in that division is the one who's going to have the worst quarterback. And I'm not sure who that's going to be, really. I mean, I like everybody in that division. But, again, we're talking preseason. We can stop this nonsense and move on. I'm not jumping out of my seat about a Niners-Vikings game on a preseason. And if I'm right, the Raiders haven't even played car yet, you know? What can I say? I don't get fired up over it.
What if I told you, okay, as my regular co-host said, I didn't know who the Dolphins were playing. All I was doing was I'm on the media distribution list of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Detroit Lions, and the Miami Dolphins. So I'm waiting for all these guys that are taking cheap shots. Boy, you got to have three bad ones. No. And all I'm doing is posting their transcripts up for my thousands of followers to read them. What if I didn't know, and I'm admitting I didn't know who the Dolphins are playing tomorrow, because I don't really, frankly, care. Preseason, but give me the content, let everybody come to the website, and I don't really care. I'll get interested, okay, when it really matters in September. All I care about right now is maximizing my time with baseball, building the platform, doing millions of videos, maybe not as many videos as Mancini does shows, but close enough, okay, because I don't have that much in me. All I am is a writer and a journalist, and I do that stuff and networking. So I didn't know who the Dolphins are playing tomorrow. Don't frankly care. Give me the press releases, and I'll put them on social media, and then wake me up when the regular season starts. I don't even care. But I will be in my bed in my living room tomorrow, and I'm okay with that. Excuse me.
Well, we'll get it over to you, Bruce. Do you have a topic as we wait for Elo to get in? Then we'll give it over to Scott with a topic.
Sure. What's the other ludicrous thing? The Deshaun Watson thing. All right, 11 games, really. And the more time goes on, the worse Roger Goodell looks in my mind. You're looking at somebody who's only given him 11 games. You blackballed Colin Kaepernick for getting on his knee. You gave Calvin Ridley a year for gambling, and you're only giving this guy 11 months. This is not a good look for the NFL at all, but I think he knows something that I think we all sort of know about ourselves. And I'm one of those, and you know, it's like, you want to just dismiss it, but we're kind of football addicts. We like gear up for each Sunday and stuff. And I think that Goodell knows that. And that is the bottom line with him, which of course means money. It's amazing. And I mean, I've seen some of the comments that Watson's done. It's got like going back and forth. And of course the Haslam's the owner of the Browns, you know, doing the whole second chance thing. That would be fine, except this is the most egregious thing that I've seen, at least on the football level, as far as suspensions were going. And I think it deserves more than a year, frankly. I'm thoroughly disgusted with the decision. I wonder how anybody could be a teammate with somebody that you know has done that sort of thing. It's awkward. It's bad. And Roger Goodell gets an F for this decision.
All right. Well, let me give you a different perspective on this. Okay. Number one, I will not change my position on this, no matter how many people think I would ever attempt to. Number one, I felt he should have got 2 years equivalent to Trevor Bauer. Number one. Okay. Because of the nature of it. But the biggest problem that you Mark is the fact that he was not charged in any of those. So if you're not charging anybody, then I can almost see where maybe the five or six games gets eliminated. That you went from 6 to 11, and you know the game that he's going to be returning, don't you? The Houston Texans at Houston.
Yeah.
So I guess
here's the drama.
Let's look at a couple ways here, okay? If they weren't going ahead and playing at the Houston Texans, don't you think there might have been another game or two tacked on? Come on. The NFL's a billion-dollar business for a reason. So I think you should have gotten 2 years, and the NFL was pushing for one. And, you know, here's the thing. Ray Rice got blackballed as well, didn't he? Although, unfortunately, he got caught on video doing what he did. So, and Kaepernick, well, you know, he was before his time in terms of his protest. I still think you have to stand for the national anthem no matter what. So I think Colin knew what he was dealing with, and he paid the price, and I understand what happened there. And I think he's still a lot better than a lot of the quarterbacks that are out there. But, you know, again, the NFL had to make sure that you're – number one, you had Donald Trump beating the daylights out of you. Not that he'd ever get inside the NFL anyhow. He got denied, and I work with – and I met Trump many years ago over in 1984 – when he was the owner of the USFL New Jersey Generals. So I won't tell you how that went. I wasn't bad. I was just a young pup back then there. Anyhow, so
well, here's the thing, Scott and Bruce, if I might chime in on this, and you bring an interesting point up, but is there a difference between O.J. Simpson and Deshaun Watson? I mean, it just seems like this is mirror images of each other where, you know, it gets dragged out and dragged out and dragged out. And you're right, Bruce. Roger Goodell should have stepped up and did his job and brought the hammer down on this guy. The whole Bounty Gate and Deflate Gate was a joke. When Peyton handed a suspension and Brady and all this, I mean, what guy doesn't prepare his guys to up the ante and knock the quarterback out to get a few more bucks in his pocket or income? So, you know, when you look at the whole Ray Rice thing that Scott brought up, and then we can go to Trevor Bauer and all these other things. It's just hypocritical in my book that, you know, you create gray areas for certain people, and then there's black and white for others, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, if we go on a job and we don't show up, we need to be fired whether we got experience or not if we can't pick up the phone and communicate why we aren't there that day. And that's the same thing with these guys.
Let me give you three letters, okay, Mark and Bruce. You ready? CBA, Collective Bargaining Agreement. And this is how this was all negotiated, where he took himself out of the equation, you know what I mean, initially, put it in the hands of somebody else, and then decided to make the settlement that he did. So, again, before, it was pretty cut. He would have gotten that year no matter what. But you don't want to go out there and look bad in terms of you negotiated something with the Players Association, and then all of a sudden the agreement doesn't look good. So everything you guys are saying is 100% right. The collective bargaining agreement and how the paperwork was drawn up was probably removed him for a degree of the equation. And that's really what it comes down to. Do I think he should have gotten, I mean, Bruce, am I going to blame Goodell totally for this? No, Bruce, I think we're kind of different on one, because I'm not going to totally agree with him, because the collective bargaining agreement dictated different things this time around than it has in the past. So I'm not giving him a mulligan for it, okay, Bruce and Mark, by any stretch. But I think his hands were tied in an effort to maintain a degree of credibility, not only with his owners, but probably with the Players Association, you know. And I think, and again, you have to look at both ends is what you have to do. Now, Mark, you did bring up another good point, which is good. Anything that where it's predatory behavior should automatically be a one-year suspension, no ifs, ands, or buts. You have got to set precedents. Now, you talk about O.J. Simpson versus Deshaun Watson. Here's the deal, Mark, okay? O.J. Simpson's situation was long gone, as my friend Ernie Harwell would say. So all his trouble occurred after his playing career was done, after his broadcasting career was done. He's in the Hall of Fame. They're not taking him out. That doesn't mean they won't remove him for Ring of Honors or any of that stuff. So it's hard to compare Watson with O.J. Simpson, Mark, because they're totally different animals. And again, Watson knew full well that, hey, you know what, that I'm not getting paid much first year to offset the one-year deal, so it'll be backloaded to $46 million for next year. So everything was drawn out very carefully the way it was and set up. And now the $5 million fine, big deal, okay. They go from, what, $230 million guaranteed to $125 million? Well, let me tell you guys, okay, in the words of Latrell Sprewell, although Latrell Sprewell didn't have enough to feed his family, I would say that Deshaun Watson had plenty to feed his family, and the Haslams did him a good favor. And by the way, who's the other 0-16 team in NFL history? Cleveland Browns. Sorry, Cleveland. Two shots in one day, but it is what it is. I'll make up and be nice to you, maybe if I have a reason to do it. So I know I've thrown a lot your way, guys, but again, Mark and Bruce, I emphasize that I'm not totally putting the blame on Goodell this time because it's a collective bargaining agreement. It had something to do with the course of action here. Beforehand, it was all Roger Goodell, and that would have been a one-year suspension no matter what. And I still think he should have gotten two. So.
Bruce, as I give it over to you, and Scott brings up some great points, but to me, I think these guys are just looking at one thing and one thing only, talent and making money, and they feel like they got to lower the suspension to bring Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, the Cleveland Browns. This is no character, and you're sending a bad precedent to anybody else that does this kind of thing, that even if they do it with more women than Deshaun Watson did, they might get only 13 games suspended or something. When does this get 1 year, Bruce? I don't know, but to me, credibility is shot across the board in this sport.
Yeah. And like I say, they know we're going to watch. It's that simple, and Goodell knows it, and I'm sure the players do too. Everybody does. it's hard for me to continue to talk about it.
Well, I mean, Bruce, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like what goes on in stuff is, you know, a guy goes, well, this guy's been rehabilitated, you know, he's okay now. We just rehabilitated him 10, 11 times now. We'll put him back in society. I don't have to worry about him. I've got the 8-foot wall here where he can never get in. So if he does anything in society, I don't care. But until you stand here and say, okay, if you want to release this guy back to society and this guy commits a crime, then he's going to live with your family for a year, that'll all change. That's the same thing with this Deshaun Watson. It didn't happen to anybody that Roger Goodell knows or anything. So he's basically saying, okay, no problem. But if you want to reinstate this guy after 11 games, if he commits something, let him live with you and assault your masseuses and everything.
Yeah, it's the fact that he's not really going to be paying anything. I mean, he's still going to make his money. I mean, maybe he's, you know, reputation is, to use a light term, slighted. I don't think that the guy really cares, you know, about his reputation or anything. He cares because people are giving him one. I don't think he cares about it in general about himself. And there, he's going to make his money. He's still going to play football. He wanted out of Houston, and he got out of Houston in the ugliest of ways. And his team is probably going to end up having to pay some of these women some money as well. So, you know, it's a nothing suspension. And I agree. I agree with 2 years on that. I probably more actually, but I mean, and the Browns and the NFL have a problem. And Scott implies, and he's probably right, this is sort of behind closed doors. We don't know I don't know much about the CBA and what happens behind there, but I know it's about player representation. He is a player, and I guess, you know, that he's encompassed by that, and they'll fight for him. That's wrong.
Well,
but that's
here we go. I'll give it over to Scott. We got a question coming in. This is Gary from Pensacola, Florida. He goes, you guys got it all wrong. He was never charged with anything. He's been set up, and you guys are berating the guy. He's been proven innocent. What charges he got on this? Oh, God, what's this guy listening to?
Mark, you got a guy out here, okay, that hasn't listened to the entire show. What the heck did I just say? He was not charged at all, okay? I love some of our callers every week, and some of them, well, you know, maybe they had, you know, maybe they had too many margaritas with a little scotch in there, and they probably deciphered half of what we just said. So, but here's the deal. I said he was not charged anyways, and there were two indictments that never happened. which is why they slight that suspension by a half a dozen games. Now, I'll make a bigger, bolder prediction. You ready? Number one, how much you want to bet, okay, in Kessinger, you take me to the best steakhouse out in the planet, Oakland, that here's the deal, okay, that game is going to be either four or they're going to have it in prime time just to go ahead and have Cleveland against Houston. Don't tell me that's not a rating bonanza waiting to happen. Come on, really? If they were even on the schedule, then it's a different animal, number one. So I think there's going to be – NFL's going to play on this thing and just, hey, you know. And here's the other thing, too. Roger Goodell, when he went over the final agreement, also incorporated that he had to go ahead and have to have therapy. And if he goes ahead and steps out and doesn't do it, they can add more punishment to the existing agreement. So that's the one thing that we tend to be forgetting here, that could be – there could be something tacked on if Deshaun Watson doesn't play it straight. So this he's at 11 now, but that may not be where this thing ends. It really doesn't. And all of a sudden we have a different conversation maybe 2 or 3 months. I don't think he showed in the public appearances that I've seen any remorse. And anytime somebody's saying that he has predatory behavior, that's another story. But with that said, I think the NFL wants to move on to the Dan Snyder situation. We saw Robert Kraft had some issues with a Jupiter, you know, brothel down here. And, you know, they'd like to move on to these other things. So there has to be consistency with owners, players about this kind of thing where you're jeopardizing the well-being of females. You just can't do that, and you're going to look bad. I think, actually, Goodell was trying to save face with women out here by pushing for something harder, because he felt in his mind that not only does he have sympathy for him, but he also is a businessman. He doesn't want to lose a female audience either.
Well, here's the thing, Scott. We'll give it over to Bruce here. But, you know, I don't understand how he was charged unless he came in with a cachet at Ben Franklin's and paid the whole system off. We're not talking about one or two women here. We're talking about 88 of them, you know. So, I mean, I don't quite understand how you can look me straight in the eye and tell me this guy hasn't committed a crime when 88 women aren't necessarily – I mean, if we walk down the street and three women complained about us, I'm sure they would stop us and ask us some questions and maybe haul us in and book us. But 88 women aren't lying on this situation. And when we look at Robert Kraft and anything, I don't see anything wrong with Robert Kraft did. He went into a massage parlor and paid for a service that was actually given, and he walked out. What's wrong with that? They do that in Vegas, and you got a strippers union out here in Los Angeles that's trying to get that thing going. So I don't understand why the emphasis would be on Robert Kraft compared to this guy that's had a problem with 88 women.
Yeah,
88. Wow, that number's gone up. The thing here is like, and no, he didn't get charged, but come on. You're not going to pay out millions of dollars to settle this stuff a bunch of times because you're not guilty. I know if I had that happening to me and I wasn't guilty, I would take this on in court. Come on, man. Really? I mean, this guy, it didn't get charged. And you, like you said, a bunch of Franklins did go out, and that is the bottom line. And a lot of courts don't want to spend time on cases because there's too many cases going on. They just want to move it on. So this is what happens. This is what settlements are. But, you know, it's not an admission of guilt. When it really is an admission of guilt. That's all I got to say about it.
Mark, what you seem to be missing, though, Mark, okay, is a Robert Kraft, say what you want about what you said. It's just the look that he went into a brothel up in Jupiter. Let's not forget about who did what compared to crimes. Because if you really want to go in that direction, okay, and compare O.J. Simpson to Deshaun Watson, yeah, he ended up having a great dream team for a bunch of lawyers.
Scott, here's the thing. Scott, with the way society is today, you're not going to go into a bar if you're a single guy and buy a woman a martini and then roll around with her three floors up the elevator and not thinking anything's going to happen, compared to if you're a single guy and you drop $500 in a brothel, you know exactly what's going on and she knows exactly what's going on. And I'd probably do the same thing if I was a single guy, rather than tangle with somebody that knows that I'm a ball player or something and is going to come after me and say, hey, you did this to me and you did that to me. I think more people today in today's society would do what Robert Kraft had done than what they would do today, because there's a lot of things going on in today's society, and Deshaun Watson didn't necessarily use the best judgment on this.
I'm not, hey, Mark, I'm not downplaying the significance of the fact that Kraft, $500 is a drop in the bucket to him to do it, and there's cameras all over the place, blah, blah, blah. You're missing the entire point, Mark, okay? You're talking about a $1 billion owner involved with some sort of a sexual act where he paid. That's all I'm saying. This has nothing to compare, because I'm going to go back to O.J. again, Mark and Bruce, okay? O.J. Simpson, okay, ended up not being convicted in one thing, but all of a sudden he lost a civil suit, which proved he was guilty. And then when there was any kind of violence that took place in Las Vegas, where there was a he didn't have a chance there. He was going to jail. So Las Vegas was going to do what L.A. didn't do, and they had Simpson where they wanted, and they were on the, you know, there was a witch hunt there in Vegas that put O.J. away for a while. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that what Robert Kraft did was, you know, because prostitution going on a long time. Can I tell you guys something a long time ago when I was in college 35, 40 years ago? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm at the University of South Florida. You guys are going to love this. I hope we get reaction from everybody out there. I ended up at the University of South Florida, took an argumentation and debate, okay, course, and I ended up with three women and myself, okay, doing a project together about prostitution. And I'm going to tell you what, there wasn't enough evidence of it here in the United States. It wasn't quite as popular then, or at least notarized as it is now. But and then, you know, we were having a hard time digging up information, and I slept in the library. You guys are used to me sleeping in different places in the last several weeks when we do our shows, right? I practically changed my address to the USF library, and we compiled enough information. Well, we did such a good job on that debate. Here I am with three women in that are nice people, and we've had a lot of opportunities to hang out. I got to know these ladies. They're all nice people and all that. And if I knew them today, they'd be three YouTube subscribers, by the way. But as it turns out, we ended up going ahead and getting, I think, a B on the thing and had a good time with it. And I ended up passing the argumentation. I was a fish out of water doing that. So what does that have to do with what we're talking about here? You know what? Again, you're talking about paying for a service. But in the end, you know what? Anytime you're dealing with that sticky situation where you're dealing with females, potential threatening behavior, who knows? You have to be conscious of what you're doing because it could bite you so badly. And we could sit here and do an entire show on this and that, but it's not really worth it because I believe in breathing positive energy instead of something like that. You follow me? But the point is, there's one thing. What Watson did was extremely dead wrong. He really did. Make no doubt about it.
Yeah,
and if you're settling 24 times, he's admitting
guilt. The difference between the Kraft thing and Watson also is, remember, that Kraft's going into a house of ill repute, even though it has a different name. These were professional masseuses. They had no intention of doing something like that. So, you know, these are pros. This is not, and I don't mean Pete Pro as in the first three letters of prostitute.
Right.
So, you know, there's a difference, Sarah. That's my final say on that.
Well,
here's the thing. What difference would it have made if Robert Kraft picked up the phone and told two people to come up to Massachusetts or New England, a suburb, and said, come into my house, and the service was there? I mean, what, it's the same thing. Here, he's paying them either way, but this other guy, to the point, is friggin' here assaulting him, and it's unbearable. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, what court of law wouldn't charge a guy like this with that many cases? I mean, the evidence is there, point blank.
Well, let me tell you what. Number one, you're dealing in Texas, okay? So you better remember that. Number two, as our old friend Don King would say, only in America, okay? Because only in America. And number three, okay, I've been telling you guys all along, I think Watson should have had 2 years, okay? What is it people don't understand? I think he should have had 2 years Trevor Bauer punishment. So by no means am I condoning what he did. What he did was outright wrong. 2 years, people, 2 years, exclamation point.
Well,
okay, 48-point print if you're familiar with print.
Dave from Shaker Heights, Ohio, says, keep your eyes on the Browns. Watson will come back. We'll hold the thing with Bissett. Once Watson comes back, move over NFL. The Cleveland Browns will do something. Oh, my God. This guy's a nut, too.
No,
coming from the Cleveland Clowns?
Of all the shows we've done together, I have never had a...
I'm going to tell these people, you shouldn't drink earlier in the day before you listen to our show. This is not a tailgate show. You don't start drinking at 5 in the morning and tune us in.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Wow. Hey, you know what? Let me give you guys a great story, okay? You ready? And I hate to admit this on the radio, okay? But once upon a time, okay, since we're all out there doing this anyhow, many, many years ago, okay, when I was working at the Tampa Tribune, and I watched the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, okay, play at Tampa Stadium. Not the new one, but the old one, okay? And, you know, actually, Wayne Fonts, you guys have heard of him, right? Former Lions
coach.
Yeah, I went to school with his son, Mike Fonts, and we were good friends. So a bunch of us went over to Hooters across the street, okay, to have a bunch of drinks. Okay, really cool. The Lions lost, and again, why wouldn't they all be drinking anyways, okay? But here's the great part about that story, okay? I had like 3, 4, 5 beers. Can't remember. You lose count after the over-under. And I had a Tampa Tribune deadline to go out there and get a story done. And it was by 7 o'clock Eastern time. So we go from the Lions over to Hooters, which is right down the street off of Dale Mabry Highway. Okay, you ready? 4 or 5 beers, wrote my story up downtown. And you know what? You guys got to laugh when you hear this. I can't wait for somebody to come back at me for this one. I'll tell you, I wrote my best story ever for the Tampa Tribune. And I told my, God rest his soul, Rick Nelson, I love you up there. But Rick Nelson said, Scott, this is one of the best stories you've ever had. I'm telling you, I didn't have to do much work editing. Well, you know, Rick, would I get in trouble with the bus if I told you I had like 4 or 5 beers afterwards? I got creative. He said to me, so you know what he said to me? If you're going to drink 4 or 5 beers and get this creative, I guarantee you I'll make sure that nobody will ever give you a hard time because you made my job a whole lot easier. Go for it. Have a few beers. I don't care.
Well, let me tell you something. We should start next week. We have Daniel Orsino in here, the one that covered the Giants and did stuff with the New York Giants. But, dude, we have to do this, and I've already put it out there on the social media. We got to do the worst franchises in sports, and we should break it down. I will tell you this to that guy in Cleveland, Ohio. The Cleveland Browns have made my top 5 as worst franchises in the last 3 decades.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mark, I'd love to be able to put that show together. I guarantee
you. Oh, my
it.
God, yeah. You guys would come up with one of them, but my definitely would be the Cleveland Browns. And now we're getting somebody. This is Albert from Poway saying, yeah, tell Scott I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who were 0-14 in 1976.
Yeah, you know what? That was definitely fun.
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen.
Well, when we go ahead and show, we'll divulge the full list, but if I had two that came off the top of my head, I'd go the L.A. Clippers and Arizona Coyotes would be 2 at the top of my list. So.
Yeah. And Bruce, you could probably put the 76ers in there, too.
Now,
I think they won 9 games. Yeah.
Yeah, but Mark, you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, 9-73. Yep, 9-73. I remember them.
Yeah, but Mark. Mark, what you have to do, though, if you're going to break down a show like this, partner, okay, is you don't break down a season. We're talking about a history of a franchise being a format.
Yeah, yeah.
They're two different subjects. I mean, you talk
I think
about
the Browns are unparalleled.
Again, you know what? When you have an opportunity to do a show like we're doing today, and you can come up with every single topic off the top of your head. It's called Great Conversation 101. Let me tell you, the ideas run amok. And I think sometimes the best shows are the ones that aren't prepared. Because I'll tell you what, when I was out in Cooperstown in New York City, a lot of my best ideas
Dan,
came
Dan from Wichita, Kansas, chiming in with he's got the Colorado's hockey team that was a Mickey Mouse operation, coined the phrase by Wayne Gretzky. He put the Detroit Lions in there.
Oh yeah.
That's too easy. He's got Gene Mock.
Oh, wow.
He didn't even put a team. He just put Gene Mock.
Okay, I'll throw in Norm Turner.
Well, let me say this. Okay.
And the last guy, real fast, he put Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah, well,
Marty got Lee Scott to the playoffs.
Yeah,
Hey, Craig Hela, we definitely missed him, but we had one hell of a show today. We still got about 9 minutes, boys.
Let me tell you this, though. You can go out there and knock my Detroit Lions, but I'll tell this to this guy in La La Land. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't have covered 4 Super Bowls. Yes, because I had good contacts and I worked with them for a lot of years. And by the way, if they're so darn bad, don't tell me Barry Sanders isn't in the Hall of Fame. Don't tell me that they don't have a wide myriad of Hall of Fames in there any more than you're going to say about the Pirates, who have a great Hall of Fame. So you talk about, you know, the fact that you have teams that have bad runs for 10, 20 years. I get that. Mistakes were made. But I could certainly think of 5 franchises far worse than the Lions. But I don't know. How many different ways have I stereotype or characterize alcohol? We've got moonshine. We have, what do we have?
Beers.
Well, Johnny from Silver Lake, a friend of Carlos, says there's 3 pitiful franchises of all time down there in Florida. Look around, Scott. Look around at the Orlando Magic, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the piss poor Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I know. All right, Chris talked about of the 4 teams that we have locally, though, the Panthers have probably been the most futile of the 4 because they've only got 1 playoff win in the last 20-some-odd years since the 90s. So the guy can make a valid point there. But the reality of the situation is, you know, Florida is what it is. We have palm trees. I don't know where this guy's smoking his deal, but I guarantee you, if you don't want to go to any sporting events down here, you ever heard of the beach? It is a pretty good place to go, even though I haven't been there in a while, except when I want to go out with some friends. So, I don't know. It is. Hey, listen, no, I think it's a great subject. I'm certainly to go out there and talk about it on this show. We certainly have a lot of interest. You know, when we talk about a wide range of interest, it depends if they're drinking their orange juice or lemonade, if they're drinking their pith of tequila, their beer, their moonshine, it doesn't matter. You know, because, again,
you
the opinions have been all over the place anyways. It doesn't matter. I'm not knocking anybody that drinks moonshine. You know, maybe you guys should understand that when I came back home last Sunday, you know, you got to understand, I went 23 hours in a row, Bruce and Mark, to get to Cooperstown, and my buddy Craig Minervini gives me here in Miami, gives me an app, Hotels Now. So here, let me finish this thought, okay? Well, it's fresh, okay? So Craig said, you use the app? No, I didn't use it. So then I came back home last weekend after going out with some friends on Saturday night. And you want to talk about a 1-2 potent conversation. New York City to South Florida was a cakewalk. I only drove 19 hours in a row, 42 hours on 2 stretches. And you want to talk about a potent combination to stay up there, folks? And you can reach out to us here locally. I happen to have Diet Mountain Dew and Monster drinks on the same trip. And I'm going to tell you something. You could have shot me off on the Kennedy Space Center or the Johnson Space Center because I was doing good and I was having my old drive across the country. So with that airport, you're free to drive to fly across the country. Well, I'm free to drive across the country. So get any of that?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I think that the classic call of the month has to be that guy in Cleveland talking about the Browns with Brissett holding the fort and Watson coming back and leading the Browns to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
what are you drinking there, man? What are you mixing? Are you mixing Kahlua and tequila? What are you doing out there, man? Seek help. 2 words.
You know what? I think he actually, Mark and Bruce, I think what really happened with this guy is he forgot a word called Super Bowl, not Super Bowl. So, you know, he forgot to say Super Bowl. I don't know what part of the country he's from. I don't know what he's drinking. Is it the caffeine or the non-caffeine, the Kool-Aid? You know, once upon a time there was Kool-Aid, lemonade, you name it, doesn't matter. But,
you guys laugh, but I will be at the Browns game tomorrow when we show Philadelphia what we're made out of. Wow. Okay.
And a preseason.
Well, you got a car salesman playing quarterback in the preseason. You're going to base it on that?
Well, let me give you an answer for that. Once upon a time, okay, the Detroit Lions were 4-0, okay, in the preseason under Rod.
I remember that.
Worked out. They went 0-16 under Rod Marinelli. And the only thing good about Rod Marinelli, two things, okay. Number one, my colleague Rob Parker, who I'm sure you've heard about in L.A., one of my closest friends, hammered Rod Marinelli in Charlotte, okay. And I loved every second of it when he was there because he's working in Detroit. And the second part of the whole thing is that Rod Marinelli got fired on my birthday after that season. And for a lot of you Detroit Lions followers out there, the last championship they won was on my birthday, December 29th, 1957. The only problem was it was 5 years before I was born, but at least I can always be brought up with a date when they won their last championship. Any more or less the fact that if any – and here, let me give you another little piece of trivia here. You know, that Billy Martin was killed – on, I believe, December 25th, 1989, the same day I got injured on a ski slope. So I remember important dates depending on circumstances being what they are. You know, I went way downtown, bang, out Magic.
Well, not only that, Scott, and then over down to now like 4 minutes, and Bruce, we'll give it a round. But I think Marinelli was the one that had wanted the pay-per-view with Harbaugh there after the San Francisco Detroit regular season game, if I'm not mistaken. Am I on to that?
Was that
the Marinelli, the handshake, and then we thought we were going to get a pay-per-view?
That was Jim Schwartz, by the way, Mark.
No, oh, that was Schwartz. Okay.
Let me say one thing about Rob Marinelli since you brought him up. He thought, being a military guy, that he was so tough. And you know what he did with the Lions? And this should hit you closer to home, Bruce, okay? He had the Lions fly across the country, okay, to Oakland to play a game, and then they had to go back in the same day without staying in a hotel just to prove how tough he was. Yeah, not a good move. And then
oh,
the players
my God.
Yeah, no, you don't think flying across the country is easier. You know, common procedure is you fly out the night before, Sunday night, get ready. But he thought he was being a tough guy. Yeah, I wouldn't say how tough that was. And by the way, Bruce,
okay. Man. Eric coming in from Flint, Michigan, said, well, that's why the Lions are bad. They save the water bills in these hotels. They just hit them with a fire hose and get them back on the plane to get back to Motown.
Now, I just talked enough to Rod Marinelli. So first thing, the Detroit Lions history has meant two things. One, they won the They won their last NFL championship, by the way, against, I believe, the Cleveland Browns. Sorry, Cleveland.
No,
nope. There's another shot.
They lost. It was 49ers.
Got fired.
It was the 49ers. It was against the 49ers. The Lions won. Yeah, it was 57.
I know. Was it? Okay. Well, I know they beat the Browns one of those times. It doesn't make any difference. Regardless, you know, whether they won it in 57. So, all right, Cleveland. I'm sorry I didn't hammer you. This one, I believe the Lions got the best of you one of those times, just one on that day. So,
well, I think we've covered everything, guys. I mean, we started out with Eckersley taking a ranted fit at Pittsburgh. Maybe he hasn't enjoyed the Roberto Clemente Bridge, or maybe they charged him. Maybe they put a toll road there. I have to find out from my buddies in Pittsburgh. We then went to the Deshaun Watson thing and the cachet of Ben Franklin's that took care of that case. And now we find out the most demoralizing franchises in sports. I think we did pretty darn well today, guys, as we approach 700 without Craig Elo today, and hopefully we can get him back in here. But what an amazing show. Bruce, why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend?
And you can get me at Holy Roller. 919-78@gmail.com or on Facebook, and otherwise you'll just find me in the gutter.
Scott, as we bring it over to you, I know you've got a list of things coming up. My brother, how can we get your insight on all this as you recuperate from a 20-something trip from New York to Florida last week, and now you say to hell with the Dolphins, we're just going to relax and get used to my couch.
Yeah, I'm ready to get going again. I'm road sick, but www.southfloridatribune.com, at Twitter at Tribune South, and more importantly, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. I do want to put a bow on the Pittsburgh thing real quick, though. I did a video that will be released very, very soon talking about the courage of three players, one of which was Roberto Clemente, Jackie Robinson, as well as Lou Gehrig. So that will be appearing on the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. So if people don't think I have an admiration about Pittsburgh sports, then they are so way out of the line. I don't know what the heck they're drinking, but they're not drinking the same beverage that I am. So, but yeah, and Fire Up series premieres on Monday night, myself and Mark Mancini, and it'll be a rotating show with different people coming in and out. It'll be an umbrella of different markets combined into one. So a lot of things to cover. So for all you San Francisco 49ers, I didn't want to insult you anyways because you beat the Lions when Lonnie Clark was there off that prayer kick anyhow when the Lions had a chance to win a playoff game. Didn't work out when Gary Danielson was there. So whatever, 49ers, you still are a great franchise. Nothing against you. Okay, sorry, Cleveland. It is what it is. So.
Four, Bruce Kessinger in Oakland, Scott Morgan Roth in South Florida, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Thank you very, very much for listening. We blew the airwaves up. Hopefully everything's good with Craig Elo. Next week, Danielle Orsino out of Charlotte, North Carolina, talking New York Giants football. Till then, catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Stay tuned for some of these great shows in the network. Detroit, Miami, all these great things coming up. Throughout the Bolt networks and everything. Till then, have a blessed weekend. Stay safe and stop drinking before you listen to our show next week.